Survivor's log, day three. I was tending to a wounded marshal. He told me not to trust Kate and asked me to look in his jacket pocket. What I found were Kate's Lamar Jackson takes, which made no sense, because she was just begging for credit after going to bat for Lamar. There was also a receipt that asked if Nathan Peterman was the next Dak Prescott. Kate's probably gonna kill this dude. It's been 5 days since Carson Wentz tore his ACL. Hell is empty, and all the devils are here. You are flying high on Locked On Eagles, your source for the best Philadelphia Eagles news, brought to you by LockedOnEagles.com. I am your host, Michael Kist. You can follow my work at Breaking Football Inside the Pylon. Follow me on Twitter at Michael Kist NFL. As always, I am joined by the best co-host in the game, Mr. 7-Year Streak Without a Bad Day. He is Benjamin Solak of Bleeding Green Nation and NDT Scouting. You can follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K, Ben. How you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm always well, Mike. Every day is a good day to be alive. What's going on with you?
Hey, man. Just going into this weekend strong, having some Twitter brawls, putting people in their place. You know how it is, man. A regular day for me.
It must be a day that ends in a Y if Mike is arguing with somebody on Twitter.
This is nonsense, man. I'm one of the most welcoming Twitter people that you will find. So
that's what I was once told many moons ago. That was the claim that came from at Michael J. Kist, but now the newly branded at Michael Kist NFL. He takes no prisoners, man. He's seen some things.
I will drag some people. Okay. Speaking of Twitter, Landon Collins hit Eli Apple with a quote, tweet about that and see what happens 100 unquote. That was a tweet directed at Eli Apple. This was after Apple denied Collins having talked with him about the disappointing season. This is just a mess for New York, and this issue with Eli Apple continues to blow up. Again, Collins said that he sat down with the defensive back group, talked about the disappointing season, and then they asked Eli Apple about it, and he said it never happened. Ben, what is going on?
Do you want me to throw some excellent Eli Apple stats at you right now?
Yes, please.
All right. These are all courtesy of Scott Barrett, at Scott Barrett DFB.
I saw this.
Primarily a fantasy football guy, but he's awesome. From week 16 of last season to Eli Apple's most recent active game, which was week 10, he leads the NFL in touchdowns allowed with 10, which, okay, 10 touchdowns allowed, like, you know, different people might feel differently about that. I can tell you that second place is 7. So that is very bad. That's 10 types of bad. If you compare his stats, again, from Scott Barrett to that of Janoris Jenkins or to Dominic Rodgers-Cromarty, he's giving up a significantly higher passer rating, 122 compared to 88 and 49. He's no interceptions. He's 10 touchdowns. Both of those other players have given up one apiece. He's given up the most yardage, the most receptions, the most targets. You're not good, Eli. You're not playing well, buddy. You were a first-round pick. You've got some significant talent. You're a young player. You're growing. I get that. You know, I'm not here to tell you are a bad football player, but you're not playing good. You're not doing good stuff right now. On a team that is currently slated to be drafting 2nd overall, you don't have much to talk about. Your head coach was just fired. Your general manager was just fired. Eli, nobody in the building who wanted you on the team is left. Right? They're gone. Your head coach is gone. Your defense coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo, is very likely going to be washed out with the new regime. There's nobody wants to keep you, man. Nobody is tied to you. So I would not be chatting right now. I would this is a lip-zipped situation for you, Mr. Apple. I would adhere strictly to that. There's nothing that drives me crazier than when people who do not play a big game talk a big game. It drives me nuts.
Yeah, it's one thing to be performing at the top of the league. He's a 10th overall pick. He's played like trash in the last, year and a half, something like that. So, yeah, this is not the time for him to be running his mouth whatsoever. And especially when it comes to his teammate, Landon Collins, who is the one piece of that defense that is playing up to, you know, what his potential is and really balling out for them. So it's interesting to see that is the feud going on for New York, which just, it continues to get worse. All right, before we get into this preview, yesterday we previewed the offensive side of the Eagles against the Giants defense. Go back and listen to that if you haven't heard it yet. Today we are going to be previewing the Eagles defense against the Giants offense. Before we go into that, I want to remind you guys and thank you for the new ratings and reviews on Locked On Eagles on iTunes. If you go to iTunes, leave us 5 stars, leave your Twitter handle in the review. We will enter you to win a free Pro Football Focus Edge subscription, which is worth a $40 value. We'll start with the Pro Football Focus blocking advantages, kind of like we did yesterday. New York is negative 17% in run blocking and a fifth worst, negative 32% in pass blocking advantage. That should not surprise anyone. On the season, they have allowed 24 sacks, 153 total pressures, which puts them in the bottom half of the league for pass blocking efficiency. Again, no surprises. And look, we all know that the Eagles can get after the quarterback. I could bore you with a bunch of stats and all this stuff, but we know that we can get there. And we know what we have in our pass rush, so no sense in beating that to death.
Eli,
over the past 2 years, has been in the quickest top three quarterbacks when it comes to snap to throw, which is part design of their offensive scheme and in part, you know, necessity to hide their offensive line. And look, Eli wasn't good in his return after being benched for Geno Smith. He averaged 5 yards a throw. And he threw two picks with no Odell, who torched us earlier in the season in our first matchup, and without much of a run game to speak of. Ben, how did the Giants move the ball against the Eagles?
Oh, man. I was not prepared to answer that question because they're not going to be able to. And it's going to be very difficult. I'll tell you this. Philadelphia run defense has, as we know all year, has been playing fantastic football. However, over the last few games, run defense has been a little bit wanting in the sense that that Philadelphia run defense has allowed for 100 yards total rushing from the opponent, I believe, in three of the past four games. Let me check that. Yeah, three of the past four games, they've allowed 100 yards. They've only allowed 100 yards four times. The other game was the Kansas City game. So they've given up. It's been 112, 101, and 109, so it's just barely, you know, breached the surface there. And then you go ahead and you compare that to the Giants across their first seven games of the season, only crested 100 yards rushing twice. They hit the bye week, and now six games after the bye week, they've crested 100 four times. And so Giants have been running the ball a little bit better. Orleans Darkwa has kind of taken over as the guy who they rely on the most there. You know, they got a crowded room there with a lot of mid-tier sort of guys, and Darkwa seems to be the one who's most effective. Yeah. And then on the flip side, Philadelphia, you lose Jordan Hicks. You start to lose some of that stoutness against the run. And then also, as Ronald Darby comes back, teams are just plainly throwing it on you less, and so they're looking to run the ball more. If the Giants are to win this game, they'll have to generate some offense. I expect it would come more so from the rushing attack, as Philadelphia's run defense has proved a little bit worse as of late, and the Giants' run offense a little bit better, number one. And number two, they're going to have to win the time of possession battle, right? We know right now that Philadelphia destroying as far as time of possession goes, first in the league, over 33 right. minutes a game they're possessing the football. You know, even without Carson Wentz there, the Philadelphia offense has been scoring an insane amount of points recently. You know, the number one scoring offense in the NFL. You got to keep that team off the field. You got to keep that unit off the field, I should say. And so I'm looking at potentially that sort of a look. Now you ask, with that giant offensive line, how do they run the football well? You know, the Philadelphia defense matches up clearly better. That front seven is better than the Giants front five. Well, we saw how Los Angeles like to take advantage of that Philadelphia penetrating front, right? You delayed handoffs, you know, traps, little screen plays, right? A lot of stuff that says, we're going to let you get upfield because we don't really care if you get upfield. If you get upfield, that's going to displace you from where we want to go with the football. And then you run it up the gut on those delayed handoffs and on those traps. That's where I think the Giants will look to attack Philadelphia. I'm not certain they have the personnel to do it there on the interior of the line. They're beat up all over the place. Obviously, the Giants are beat up, but they're also beat up on the interior of that line as well. You know, we'll see if they can hold it off. But if it's going to happen, it's going to be the running game. That's how it's got
to
be.
And yeah, this is a good opportunity for the Eagles defense to bounce back, show more of what they showed in the game against the Chicago Bears, as opposed to what they showed against the Los Angeles Rams. The Bears were a good running team too, and we were able to lock them down. So it'd be encouraging to see some improved play there as well. This team is definitely capable of it. Okay, when you look at matchups in the passing game, Ronald Darby on Roger Lewis, which, my word, give me Ronald Darby 100 times out of 100 in that one. I'd like to see Darby all over him at the line of scrimmage to throw up their timing and progressions, because like I said, they're going to want to throw quick. Then you've got Jalen Mills across from Tavares King, who has less than 20 catches, less than 200 yards on the year. Again, press him, throw the timing off of the offense. In the slot, you've got Patrick Robinson on Sterling Shepard, who, despite Eli's return last week, was only targeted three times despite playing 96% of the snaps. He hauled in two catches for 16 yards, adding one run for negative 9 yards. For a total of 7 yards on three touches. The biggest matchup of the day will be Malcolm Jenkins having the task of locking up rookie Evan Engram. Ben, I know we were both big Evan Engram guys in the pre-draft process, and despite some drops, he's been excellent for the Giants this year, probably their most consistent contributor. What do you see from these matchups?
Yeah, I mean, I think you said it well. Those outside wide receivers don't do much for me at all. And I don't anticipate, with the way that the Philadelphia corners have been playing, I don't anticipate much of an issue there. Let me ask you something, though, Mike. I was looking through stats, just kind of approaching this thing. If I were to ask you, where do you think Philadelphia ranks in terms of takeaways, right? Defensive generated turnovers per game. Where do you think they'd rank in the NFL?
I don't know, somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, they're top five.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So Jacksonville leads the league with 2.3 a game. Baltimore second, right behind with 2.2. And then three teams are tied up for at 1.8, and that's Detroit, Tampa, and Philly, which surprised me a lot, right? You wouldn't assume that this Philadelphia team is a top five in turnovers, in my opinion, but the defense has really been generating them. I think it's a far higher incidence of fumbles than it is interceptions. That's just my gut feeling. I'm actually not positive on that whatsoever. If I'm wrong, somebody, one of the listeners, please hit me up and correct me. I'd like to see Darby get a pick. I think that Darby has played well in his return. I'd like to see some more of his playmaking ability that he showcased in Florida State, that he showcased during his rookie season in Buffalo. And I think this could be a great time to do it because, you know, Eli Manning is obviously a high interception quarterback. He's not dealing with the greatest weapons right now. I'd love for Darby just, you know, looking towards the playoffs, I'd love for Darby to get some plays under his belt that really make him feel confident, get some of that CB1 swagger. So hopefully that's something that happens over the next 3 weeks. That number just caught my eye. Evan Engram versus Malcolm Jenkins is the one. Eagles haven't really struggled with tight ends at all this season, though. I mean, Jimmy Graham had a pretty good game, but it's Jimmy Graham. Besides that, and again, I don't have the numbers exactly on this, but they've done well against tight ends, just anecdotally. So I don't foresee much of an issue. Yep. Like I said, if the Giants are to move the football consistently, if they're to generate a good offense and they're to win this game, it's all going to come on the ground for me. I mean, for God's sakes, they scored 10 points against the Dallas Cowboys defense, which is bad. You know what I mean? Look at their past four games, 10 against Dallas, 17 against Oakland, 10 against Washington, 12 against Kansas City. And they needed overtime to put up 12 against Kansas City. You know, they're not scoring points. The end.
I like that analysis. Okay. So let's talk about the score in this game, because there's going to have to be one, and maybe the Giants will score a few. What's the line? What's the over under on this game, Ben?
Yeah, so I've got Philadelphia as 7.5 point favorites on mybookie.ag, and of course the over under is set at 40.5. Now, given what I've just said about the Giants scoring points, it's tough to feel out the spread for this game. If Philadelphia laying more than a touchdown on the road, obviously with Nick Foles at the helm, you don't really know how things are going to look. Fun story, of course, is that Nick Foles' first game of that 27-2 2013 season, right, the one that will go down in Lauren legend, his kind of first significant playing time was after Michael Vick went down on the sidelines with a hamstring at MetLife Stadium against the Giants, where Philadelphia is now. I was at that game. I remember that very well. I've been to two games at MetLife, Mike. First game was Nick Foles in to begin his 27-2 touchdown interception season. He threw two touchdowns in that game. The second game at MetLife was the catch. Was Odell Beckham against the Cowboys, man. So MetLife's a lucky stadium for me. 7.5, I'm not sure if I'm trusting that line whatsoever because I don't know what Nick Foles is bringing, but 40.5, even though that feels very low for this Philadelphia offense, I still, if I'm hitting anything, I'm hitting the under because I don't think New York puts double digits on the board, to be frank, and I don't expect this Philadelphia offense to score 30 or more. And so I think that if I'm touching anything, it's going to be the under. But you never want to bet in a game where one of the teams is starting a new quarterback. That's never a good idea.
Yeah, I would agree there. Final score, hit me with it.
Let's give it Philadelphia. I'll give them like a several field goals, you know, assuming that Foles struggles in the red zone after Carson's been so effective there. Let's go 23-10. I'll give it to Philadelphia. If I'm giving out a game ball pregame, I'm expecting an MVP. We talked about it previously. Zach Ertz, I think, is in line to do well against a Giants defense that can't cover tight ends and with a quarterback who knows really Ertz well and then not that many other people. So I expect Ertz to have a big one.
Yeah, I was going to go 21-6 in favor of the Eagles. Come out a little bit sluggish, figure things out, get it done. Hopefully, you know, continue our dominance in the red zone with good play calling and execution. Hopefully Foles can do that for us. So yeah, I have no issue taking the Eagles in this game. I mean, is it time to panic if the Eagles don't win this game? Because you know people are going to panic if we don't win this game.
So again, Philadelphia needs to, let's say Philadelphia loses and Minnesota beats Cincinnati, right? Now you're in a weird place, all tied up, with two games remaining. Philadelphia really is looking at not this upcoming week for Minnesota, but week 16, Minnesota against Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers back. Presumably Green Bay is going to be making a playoff run at this time. It's going to be a tough game for Minnesota to win. Let's say Green Bay wins that game. Then Philadelphia only has to win one of the remaining three games. Minnesota loses to Green Bay in order to seal up at least one of the top two seeds. Not number one seed, at least one of the top two seeds, okay? In that case, you get a first round bye, and that'll just help, you know, an extra week of practice for Nick Foles. If Philadelphia drops one against the Giants, you know, okay, there will be reasons for concern because we just lost to the Giants, right, and we'll talk about those, but it's Foles' first game in, right? Yeah. What you're looking right now, you know, however well Foles plays is however well he plays. Wonderful. What I want to see is I want to see a great defensive effort, and I want to see a great special teams effort. I want those two units to understand that this offense is going to take a few weeks to get the tires on the road and to get moving. Mm-hmm. And so this defense, this needs these special teams, those two units really need to bring Philadelphia to the first seed at least. Right. I think those two units will be the more responsible. If we see a very poor defensive performance against a bad Giants offense, if we see sloppy special teams mistakes, that's what's going to concern me, because those are the units we need to come through in the playoffs.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. All right, Ben, we are headed into the weekend. We have our predictions out of the way. We've got our preview shows in. What else do you have for the gentle listeners?
Hey, gentle listeners, thank you so much for joining us. This was the Locked On Eagles podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Eagles, or always go to LockedOnEagles.com. The episodes are always uploaded there, as well as articles, fantasy plays, film breakdowns from Mike and myself. Now, you always have to leave us, please, a rating and review. We only accept 5-star reviews, by the way, so just those, please. But on whatever app you listen to your podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, Podbean, do it all. Go ahead, leave us your feedback. We love it. Like Mike always says, this is a open door show. If you have questions, if you have comments, hit us up on Twitter, drop us a line somewhere, something related to Locked On Eagles, and we'll find it. We promise you. Looking forward to next week. It's Oakland. You know, where you got two games, home stretch to wrap up the season. Obviously, we'll have a lot more playoff seeding to talk to. The Locked On Raiders podcast, the crossover, we'll be able to do that as well. I know we missed it with the Giants this week. We'll be on ball there for the Raiders. And I think we might start looking, you know, making some more playoff predictions around that sort of a week, Mike. We'll see how things go against the Giants first.
Yes, we will. And remember, keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Cuckoo.